वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 47 एंटाइटल्ड द सॉन्ग ऑफ द बी, टेक्स्ट नंबर 59। क्वेमा स्त्रियो वनचरीर विभिचार दुष्टा कृष्णे क्वचेष परमात्मनि रूढ भावा नानु वि ईश्वरो अनुभजतो अभिदुषोऽपि साक्षात् श्रेयस्तनोति अघादराज इवोपयुक्ता। क्वेमा स्त्रियो वनचरी व्यभिचार दृष्टा कृष्णे क्वचेष परमात्मनि रूढ भावा नानो व ईश्वरो अनुभजतो अविदुषोऽपि साक्षात् श्रेयस्तनोति अगदराज इवोपयुक्ता। क्वेमा स्त्रियो वनचरीर्व्यभिचार दुष्टा कृष्णे क्वचेष परमात्मनि रूढ भावा नानु व ईश्वरो अनुभजतो अविदुषोऽपि साक्षात् श्रेयस्तनोति अगदराज इवोपयुक्ता। ननु ईश्वरो अनुभजतो विदुषोऽपि साक्षात् श्रेयस्तनोति अगदराज इवोपयुक्तः। Matajis. Where in comparison imaha these striha women vana in the forest charihi who wander vyabhichara by improper behavior. Dushtaha, contaminated. Krishne, for Krishna. Kvacha, and where. Eshaha, this. Param Atmani, for the Supreme Soul. Rudha Bhavaha, stage of perfect love. Non-technically as Mahabhava. Nanu, certainly. Ishwaraha, the personality of Godhead. Anubhajataha, to one who constantly worships him. Avidushaha, not learned. Api, even though. Sakshat, directly. Shreyaha, the highest good. Tanoti, bestows. Agad, of medicines. Rajaha, the king, namely the nectar which the demigods drink for long life. Ivaha, as if. Upayuktaha, taken. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. How amazing it is that these simple women who wander about the forest, seemingly spoiled by improper behavior, have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Still, it is true that Supreme Lord Himself awards His blessings even to an ignorant worshipper. Just as the best medicine works even when taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. Purport. The use of the words kva in the first two lines indicates a sharp contrast between apparently incompatible items. In this case, the apparently insignificant and even impure position of the gopis mentioned in the first line and their attainment of the highest perfection of life mentioned in the second. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes three types of adulterous women. The first is a woman who enjoys both her husband and a lover, being faithful to neither. So both ordinary society and the scriptures condemned this conduct. The second type of adulterous woman is she who abandons her husband to enjoy only with her lover. Society and scriptures also condemn this behavior. Although such a fallen woman may be said to at least have the good quality of dedicating herself to a single man. The last kind of adulterous woman is she who abandons her husband and enjoys in the attitude of being a lover of the Supreme Lord alone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that although foolish, common people criticize this position. Such behavior is commended by those who are wise in spiritual science. Therefore, learned members of society and the revealed scriptures praise such single-minded devotion to the Lord. Such was the gopis' behavior. Thus the term Vibhichar Dushtaha, corrupted by deviation, indicates the apparent resemblance between the gopis' behavior and that of ordinary adulterous women. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजाथां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णाप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम Hare Krishna. So seeking the blessings of all the assembled devotees to speak on this most exalted subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto and among that the song of the bee. No qualification, but somehow for my own purification, I'll just share some thoughts this morning. Leave the translation. How amazing it is that these simple women who wander about the forest, seemingly spoiled by improper behavior, have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Still, it is true that the Supreme Lord Himself awards blessings even to an ignorant worshipper, just as the best medicine works even when taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. Hare Krishna. This is a very beautiful verse within the chapter, the song of the bee. This is actually the last couple verses, and the next few verses are actually sung by Sri Uddhavji after he spent his time giving the message of Krishna to the gopis and to all the Brajabasis, to Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, and after seeing their highest love which they were exhibiting, the gopis. This is after his all those experiences, this is the final culmination of his realization, which he is singing in this beautiful 6-7 verses which he is singing, which we are now reading in the previous and the next few verses. So in one sense, this is actually the song of Uddhavji, after the song of the Pina, Uddhavgita. Of course, 11th canto has Krishna speaking to Uddhavji, that is the Uddhavgita. But here also, this few verses which Uddhavji is singing is actually the song of Uddhavji, which he composed. He was the one who wrote the lyrics, he was the composer, and he would sing. And as the previous purport explains by Shripad Jiva Goswami, that he would sing this every day. So that was the glories. And that was the reason why Krishna actually sent him. One of the reasons why Krishna sent Uddhavji was to show the whole world the glories of the love of the Brajabasis, and specifically the gopis. And this verses which he is singing actually brings forth the culmination of his project, which he was sent for, glorifying the Brajabasis, the gopis. Of course, for us it is very, very difficult to read and understand these songs, because at least I can say for myself, the attractions for the songs of this world is so much. that the songs of the Bollywood are so attractive that still those memories, those thoughts are there. So then to discuss about the Bhramara Geet or this is quite high, but just to, for our purification, just to understand some things and some lessons which we learned from the last few days of the Bhagavatam classes. I was very inspired, the last Bhagavatam classes which we heard. So I thought I'll something share from that, so that for our discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, these beautiful verses where Uddhavji is specifically in this verse, he is glorifying the gopis that they were actually, in one sense, from the material perspective, is engaging in adultery. They left their parents, their homes, their husbands, and they were in the forest enjoying with Krishna. But then Uddhavji is saying that this is the highest perfection, achieve the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna. And in the purport, the devotees are quoting Shripad Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad and saying that this is the different types of adulteries, and they are saying that this is the third, and the wise people, those who are well versed in the scriptures, those who know the Siddhanta, those who know the Rasa, they can actually understand that this is the highest form of love, a highest form of perfection which these gopis are exhibiting. So that is the perfection of the life of the gopis. And as we were hearing a few days back about how actually Uddhavji was a perfect servant, here in this verse and the few verses which he is singing is the perfection of what the service which he was sent for, to pacify the gopis. He has done that, pacified Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, stayed there for months speaking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna's pastime, hearing from them Krishna's pastimes and all. So that way he fulfilled the mission for which he was coming. And as I think Nanda Dulal Prabhu in his Bhagavatam class, he was explaining how that is the perfection of a servant. Not just do what is told, that is good, but that is better is one who understands the mood of the master. And when he executes that, and with that in mind, what is the mood of the spiritual master, and then that is the perfection. I remember, I think it was Kaustubh Prabhu, I think one time he mentioned one of his stories with his Gurudev, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked him to go and invite Dhanvir Maharaj or some other Maharaj for breakfast with him. So he said, so he goes to his Gurudev's godbrother and invites him that please come for breakfast. Our Gurudev is inviting you to come for breakfast. So then he says, no, I am busy, so I have some services to do and something, so I will not be able to come to your Gurudev. So he goes back and he comes back to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and tells them that I went to your godbrother and he said he is busy. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj became really furious and he chastised him. He was saying, this is the problem with all you servants. If you know how badly I want him to come for breakfast with me, and if you know what my desire is, and if you want to actually fulfill it, you would definitely go and beg him, and then he would never say no. And then he describes that he actually goes again and says that it is my Gurudev's earnest desire that he should come for prasad, and he's begging and requesting, and then he goes and then he actually says, okay, I'll come for breakfast. So the point he was making was that this is the perfect servant, as he was explaining the previous few days back, that this is the perfect servant is one who understands the mood of the spiritual master and delivers the message, not just the message, but fulfills much more. He gave the example of Uddhavji and from Ramlila of Rama, of Hanumanji. Just two small examples from Ramayana which comes to my mind also. One was of Urmila Devi, the wife of Lakshmanji, another beautiful pastime. So this is, since I was in Chitrakoot, so these memories are so strongly there a few days back. So this is, and Lord Ram is being banished to the forest. Sita Devi is going to accompany him. And Lord Ram, Sita Devi, and Lakshmanji also decides that he will be going to the forest to serve his beloved master Sri Ram. And this news is spread all over the place. And Urmila Devi, she was like a very great artist or a painter. She would paint different paintings and she'll be absorbed in her own world. And then when this whole episode happened, she was unaware. She was painting a beautiful painting of Lord Ram and Sita Devi getting coronated. And nobody was allowed to enter when she was painting, a very serious business. She would be focused painting for Lord Ram's pleasure. And she wanted to give this on their coronation day gift to Lord Ram and Mother Sita. Of course, Lakshmanji, he was in an awkward situation. He had to inform Urmila Devi before he goes. So he goes to her chamber. No one was allowed. But then he goes quietly, and as soon as he enters, there was a sound. And Urmila Devi, she was painting, the oil paints from her hand fell on the painting and spoiled the whole painting actually. And Urmila Devi was shocked that this was her cherished, most beautiful painting which she had made, the best painting she was about to offer to Lord Ram. And this is a bad omen. She just moved behind angrily. But when she saw Lakshmanji, she pacifies. And then she is explaining, oh, I was painting this for giving to Lord Ram, and this is what has happened. This painting has become spoiled. Of course, Lakshmanji tells that, do not worry, you have time for 14 years to repaint this painting. She didn't know what is happening all around and what was the whole thing. But then Lord Ram explains that Lakshmanji explains that Lord Ram has been banished to the forest for 14 years, and Sita Devi will accompany, and to serve them both, I will also go. And when Urmila heard this, it was a shock for her to hear Lord Ram is going there. All of them in Ayodhya loved Lord Ram more than their own lives. To hear Lord Ram is leaving, and then Mother Sita leaving, and then Lakshmanji saying, I am also going. It was like shock, like was thunder bolts on her head, one after another. But then she understands the whole situation, and very gravely what she speaks is something which remained in the hearts of Lakshmanji for the next 14 years, etched in his heart. And she says that opportunities to serve superiors come unsought to one who yearns for them. And creating an atmosphere where another can serve in a focused manner is also a service by itself. Though I would love to come along with you to the forest, I will not. My coming will invariably create situations where your service to Lord Ram will become unfocused and of inferior quality. So she expresses, she says that, I understand it is the duty of a wife to follow the husband wherever he goes. But the fulfillment of your duty, the fulfillment of that duty or the purpose will be served when I understand your heart, when I understand where way I can support your desire, the purpose of the object which you will be pleased. If you will be pleased, that is the perfection of my following. So I will stay back and not come with you. So that gives Lakshmanji more confidence and he moves forward. Of course, we know another story. This is after that. When Nidra Devi comes, finally, when Lakshmanji takes a vow at 14 years, going through one time, he quoted this story. And so he was mentioning the story that Urmila Devi, she was there, and in the Ayodhya, and in where Lakshmanji took that vow, he was there. That 14 years he will not be sleeping for the day and night. So Nidra Devi personally comes and requests him that he should take some rest. This is against the laws of the material world, that everyone should take rest in the night. That was the law. Now, everyone should take rest in the night and get fresh for the services in the morning. But then Lakshmanji refuses her proposal that, no, I will not. I have taken a vow that I will be serving Lord Ram and Mother Sita during the day, and in the night I would be guarding them in this forest from unknown dangers. You go and give your service to my wife Urmila, who would accept my service on my behalf. So Nidra Devi goes to Urmila ji actually and begs that, please accept this service. Lakshmanji has sent me to you. So Urmila ji says she accepts the service, and she sleeps during the day and in the night, and the day on behalf of Lakshmanji and in the night for her. So she would sleep. And of course, Urmila Devi told Nidra Devi that, please do not come again, because your going there reminded Lakshmanji of me and obstructed him in his service. So that was her mood to serve Sri Lakshmanji by being absent with him. That was his mood. She understood the mood of Lakshmanji that his desire was only to serve Sri Lord Ram. Of course, another thing before that, when Lakshmanji went to Sumitra, his own mother, he was also confused, thinking one mother has banished Lord Ram, and will the other mother allow me to go or not? So he was like very, very confused and difficult situation. What should he do? And as soon as Lakshmanji enters, even before Lakshmanji said anything to Sumitra, she said, "Today the fulfillment of all my desires of drinking the celestial nectar is achieved. My both the sons have been recognized as the servants. Bharat, Shatrughan is serving Bharat, and you will be serving Lord Ram." Then she says something beautiful, that you are born to rule the kingdom of service, my dear Lakshman. This is the kingdom which nobody can dethrone you. Your subjects are your senses, your desires, and your mind. So go on and rule the kingdom of your service. And then she says, "O Lakshman, from now on, Lord Ram is your father. The Sita Devi will be your mother, and the forest will be your Ayodhya, your home. And let your source of pleasure come only from serving Ram." So that was the mood of Sumitra Devi. This is amazing, the beauty of Ayodhya. Everyone living for other and glorifying other and assisting in serving others. This is something very, very special of this beautiful episode herein. All of them wanted to serve the other, assist in serving. Of course, eventually she broke down as a mother to see her beloved Lakshman and Ram going to the forest. She broke down emotionally, but then she actually speaks such wonderful, which gives more strength to Sri Lakshmanji. Another episode, this is after Lord Ram had gone with Sumantra, his charioteer, an advisor and great friend and devotee of Lord Ram and Dashrath Maharaj, to on his way to the forest. He comes to the kingdom of Nishad Raj Guhu. Very beautiful pastime, this one also. And Nishad Raj, who was the friend of Dashrathji, he greets him very well, receives them with all the wonderful offerings and bhogas and everything. Of course, Lord Ram doesn't accept them, and he thanks him and congratulates him for his wonderful service. Anyway, coming to the point, when Lord Ram had to cross over the Ganges to go to the other side of the forest. Interesting, Lord Ram, who crosses everyone from the ocean of nescience, he has to cross over Ganges and he's seeking help from Rishad. And he had like huge number of boats, so he called for his best of the boats. And the best of the boat, what is that called? Boat rider or whatever. The best of the boats and the best of the Navik comes to take Lord Ram across Mother Ganges. And Lakshmanji actually first gets inside the boat immediately and arranges for a nice boat and everything. This makes with the parna, with the leaves and flowers, make a nice sitting place for Mother Sita and Lord Ram very, very beautifully. He arranges all those things. And then Mother Sita goes in and sits in the boat. And Lord Ram, as soon as he's about to just put his foot in the boat, he shouts from behind the boatman shout from behind, "Stop, stop." Amazing, everyone is surprised, what is happening? It's like Sita Devi is sitting, Guha has arranged, everything is all set to go, and now suddenly he says stop. And everyone, the Nishad Guhu, the king, he also looks at him. Lord Ram is surprised, and Lakshmanji also a little angry. What is this? At the last minute he's saying stop for Lord Ram to come in the boat. So then he explains, "My dear Lord, have heard the power of the dust of your lotus feet. Once, when you were in earlier days, you were with Vishwamitra Muni, you stepped on the stone of and that stone turned into a beautiful lady. So I am afraid if you step on my boat and if this boat turns into a beautiful lady, I will be in trouble. I already have one wife, which is difficult, and then another one, another lady to take care of, and my jivika or the source of income is also gone. So what should I do?" Of course. Anyway, one of the lectures I was hearing of Radha Govinda Maharaj, this reminds me something not connected, but when he was referring to this pastime, when he was just making this remark that one of this, when this pastime happened where Vishwamitra, Lord Ram, placed his feet on one of the stones, so some of the neighboring sadhus and saints, they also started collecting stones. That's probably Lord Ram would come. And they're thinking they'll collect the most white stone or beautiful stone, so that probably Lord Ram, when he comes through this way, will got also someone to do our service. Anyways, coming back to the point where Nishadraj is there, all of them watching, and then he says, so Lord Ram says, what should we do now? So what is the solution to this? So he says, no, my dear Lord, the problem is with the dust of your lotus feet. So I need to come and wash your lotus feet. So when everyone hears this, everyone is so happy. Wow, yet an opportunity. Nishadraj Guru, he was also very happy and pleased to hear this. And then, of course, he comes out and washes the feet of Lord Ram with great detail. He's washing again and again. Lord Ram says, no, done. He says, no, still one particle of dust is there. Because even if one particle of dust is there, it will be trouble for me. So then he washes the lotus feet of Lord Ram, and everyone is very, very satisfied and happy, and like amazing scene. Everyone was so happy. And then eventually he says, now it's done. And then he takes the Charanamrit, drinks the Charanamrit and distributes to everyone. And all of them are very, very happy and satisfied. And of course, Nishadraj, he goes to the Lord Ram, that Lord Ram expresses his gratitude to him for all the arrangements. He says, my dear Lord, we have arranged this boat for you. When we go back, when we are about to die, please see, when we are about to cross over this ocean of nescience, please take care of us that time. And then Lord Ram and Lakshmanji sits on the boat and goes towards their destination across Mother Ganges. And of course, as he's about to near, the boatman gets off, parks the boat, and then Lord Ram is thinking. Another beautiful example of Mother Sitaji's devotion and her understanding the mood of the spiritual master. So Lord Ram was thinking, I don't have anything right now to give to this boatman. What should I do? So Mother Sita, actually, before even Lord Ram could speak it out, she gave her ring and gave it to Lord Ram to give it to this boatman. And Lord Ram, as soon as he gets down, he offers them that boatman. Of course, the boatman says, no, my dear Lord. What do I have? But I do not have, by your grace, an opportunity to serve you is a million times more valuable than the wealth of this world. I cannot take anything from you. He fell at the lotus feet of Lord Ram and cried in separation. So Lord Ram was pursuing, but he did not take anything from that. And then Lord Ram mercifully glanced with eyes of gratitude. That was the reward. And that's what we are all looking for, the merciful glance of Lord Ram, of Sri Krishna, Sri Gopinath, for our services. That's what our aspiration should be, to have the glance of Radha Gopinath's, merciful glance of Sri Radha Gopinath, Sri Gurudev, to all the great souls, for our all the services which we do. So this is how this beautiful thing, episode, these two episodes which is showed how the servant makes, understands the mood and achieves to its perfection, like herein Uddhavji is doing. Of course, these stories which I read are from a book which our dear Shubha Vilaspur is going to write, is writing from the new latest edition of Ramayana, the next volume, Sheltered Dreams. Of course, he told me not to speak, but somehow I could not resist myself. So this was like a small publicity trailer for many more wonderful, of course, it's very beautifully written with much wonderful realizations. I just shared some of the two beautiful pastimes. Sorry, I could not. So anyways, so this is how beautifully this pastime unfolds and proves And then here in the second part of the translation explains that just as the best of the medicine works, even take a person ignorant of its ingredients, similarly the grace of the Lord works even though somebody may be ignorant or somebody may not have any knowledge or jnana. So this here in Uddhavji, the greatest of all the scholars, and in contrast are the gopis, have absolutely in one sense known knowledge from the material perspective of the Vedic hymns or Vedic or the wisdom or the Upanishads. But herein Uddhavji is saying that they have achieved, like the supreme, like he gives the example of a Raj. What is that? That medicine, the king of the medicines, the mercy of the Supreme Lord or the holy name, they are like the king of all the medicines, as the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also describes in the pastime of Ajamil, that anyone who takes the whole names of the Lord, whether he knows it or he does not know it, it has to have its effect. And that's what Uddhavji is saying. They didn't have any knowledge of how the process of devotional service works, how sadhana works. They had simple faith and love for Sri Krishna. There is that simple faith and love of the gopis that gave them this most exalted of all the positions. Just one small another story from Sri Ramayana. This we heard when we were in Chitrakoot from the Aranyakand. One of the saints there was describing that there are two personalities, two ladies described in Aranyakand, the Sati and simple Shabari. Interesting comparison he gives, that Sati Devi, well situated with Lord Shiva, with all the knowledge and wisdom, but she, of course it's part of their Leela, she doubted when she saw Lord Ram going to the forest and crying and asking the trees and birds and everyone, where is Mother Sita, where is Sita? So she thought she's some ordinary person. How can this be the Supreme Lord who is crying like an ordinary man attached to a wife? So then she wanted to test, and she comes in dressed as Mother Sita in front of Lord Ram. Of course Lord Ram, super soul, Paramatma, he knows everything. Even though he's performing his wonderful leelas, he offers his pranams, his mother, why are you roaming alone in this forest? Where is Lord Shiva? He's not there with you today. Of course she understands and she goes back. Another lady he was describing was Shabari. She had complete faith in the instructions of his spiritual master, that his spiritual master and all the sages that were staying in that ashram, they told him that Lord Ram is going to come soon here. Not soon, Lord Ram is going to come here sometime. She waited for years and all of them left. It's not that they all stayed also, Lord Ram is coming, so they all went back. So left her alone. So she had that faith in the words of her spiritual master that the Lord Ram is going to come. Of course Lord Shiva explained to Sita that this is none other our worshipable Lord Ram. But then the Shabri exhibited her complete faith in the words of her guru. And we know the Lord Ram actually came to her. In all her travels, he went to her place where she was staying. Everyone is wanting to see Lord Ram, meet Lord Ram, but Lord Ram personally goes and meets her and blesses her and accepts her service. So that is the beauty of this, having simple faith and devotion, and which these devotees exhibited desire to serve. Of course, as we were discussing here, this that the holy name, the power of the holy names, which will act even whether we know it or not, but on the path of sadhana bhakti, we have to make an endeavor to develop a taste, to yearning. Yesterday we were discussing the beautiful pastime of the temptation of Thakur Haridas. It's very, very instructive and very beautiful pastime, very beautifully explained. But the lessons which we can learn is also very powerful, that otherwise these temptations of this world are so strongly there. Yesterday Mukund Malapur was telling how the boredom, the problem of wanting to enjoy something, we want to capture on different things. Today we are attracted to this thing, tomorrow something else comes up. Today this song, tomorrow another song. And tomorrow this movie, tomorrow tomorrow another movie. So like thus, these temptations keep on coming in each one of our lives. As sadhana bhakti, as we practice, these are going to come. So only thing is, we have to beg to the Lord for His mercy. And we see in the life of Srila Haridas Thakur, when all those prostitutes were sent by Ramchandra Khan, he was absorbed in the holy name. I was hearing one lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj on this pastime when he was speaking, how Haridas Thakur was completely absorbed in chanting the names of God. Wonderful qualities he described, which made Srila Haridas Thakur actually deny those proposals which are offered, which are very, very charming. She was like dressed very beautifully and wanting to entice Srila Haridas Thakur. But Haridas Thakur was completely absorbed in chanting. He had the higher taste, Maharaj was explaining, that we had the higher taste in the chanting of the holy names of God in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to all develop that higher taste. We have to beg, Maharaj was explaining, that we have to beg, yearn, sincerely beg, request, and earn for that taste in the holy name, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in worshipping the deities, in serving the devotees. Then only it's possible. It will come naturally, but we have to beg. Maharaj was repeatedly emphasizing that we have to beg for that taste in the holy name. Otherwise, these temptations of this world on the path will just drive us away. He's explaining how we have to be determined. We have to be determined. The qualities of Haridas Thakur. He was fully determined to follow his vows of chanting the holy names of God. You remember in the last pastimes also, when he was about to leave, Lord Chaitanya personally comes in that you reduce the number of rounds. He said, no, I have taken a vow to chant. That was his determination to chant the holy names of God. And his humility. He would never go in front of Lord Jagannath or his servants directly. He would always consider himself most lowly. When he was about to leave his body, that time also he said, my dear Lord, what difference does it make in your pastimes when an ant or an insect dies among your millions of devotees? That was his humility. And then his service attitude. We see during the Mahaprakash Leela, when Prabhu was asking all the devotees that ask for a boon, Haridas Thakur asked for a boon. He said, my dear Lord, I don't have to ask anything. So Mahaprabhu was saying, ask again, again he was asking. Then Thakur Haridas said, if that's what makes you happy, my dear Lord, please give me a benediction that whatever birth I may take, I may get the remnants of your devotees in whatever life I may get. Of course, it shows his humility at the same time, his desire to serve, accepting the remnants, meaning desiring to serve the devotees and be in their presence. And of course, he says, my dear Lord, I am not qualified for even for that. What did I ask? How can I ask for such a thing? Let me just be a dog or an insect near the homes, that whatever remnants they throw, I just accept them. That was his desire to serve the Vaishnavas, his desire to, the determination to chant his vows, his enthusiasm to chant. And then Maharaj is explaining, with all these qualities, with determination, with humility, with the service attitude, desire to serve the devotees, with that, with all these backing, when we long, when we beg, when we yearn to the holy name, to Thakur Haridas, that please, my dear Lord, give me some taste, some desire to serve, some desire to chant your holy names, that will, then that the Lord will actually manifest from within his heart the holy names. Maharaj is saying that Naam Ruchi should be the true goal, the only true goal in our lives. That should be the true goal in our lives. So like that, he beautifully was explaining how this wonderful pastime, through this beautiful pastime of Thakur Haridas. And just to conclude, just one small story from Sri Vrindavan about one great devotee, which also substantiate these points which we discussed. This is the story of one of the great saints from Sri Brajabhumi, Lala Babu. A few years back, devotees did the drama, Adi Keshapur, I think, and the group did drama on this beautiful pastime. So I thought I'll just reiterate this beautiful story. So Lala Babu, great man from Calcutta, Bengali Babu, having all the riches and wealth, and his grandfather was the governor of Bengal and Bihar at that time, and his father, and then he was the only son of the whole kingdom, like that of Bengal and Bihar, the son, the only son born with a silver spoon, had all the opulences and everything. And one time, on a one evening, wonderful evening, beautiful sunset, on his beautiful palanquin, surrounded by the sipahis and all the guards, and he's on a beautiful palanquin, sitting nicely, enjoying the hookah. He's going to River Ganges to see the beautiful sunset and enjoy, thinking that, wow, this whole nature's entertainment arrangement is made for me. The whole world is for me to enjoy. This is what it reflects all of our consciousness. We may not speak it out, but that's what in the sadhaka's life, that consciousness, or in the material world, that thought is permeating all throughout, that this is all, this world is meant for me to enjoy. Everything is for me to enjoy. I am the kingdom. I am the king of all what I survey. So he was thinking like that. Of course, he had all the facilities and all the arrangements. And when he was enjoying this beautiful scene from behind, from a small cottage or a slum, he hears the sound of a small daughter of a fisherman. He's saying, "Baba, awake, the day is about to close, sun is setting. Baba, awake, the day is about to close, sun is setting." Of course, she was referring to her father to wake him up, that sun is setting, please wake him up. And of course, that calling was ringing in his ears when he heard. He gave up his hookah, threw away the hookah, and he was thinking, what is the purpose of my life? What am I doing? Of course, raised in a very wonderful family, when he was born in a very wonderful family, he was raised by great scholars, taught Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a very great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he would like give away in lot of wealth in charity to the Brahmanas, to all the people. And before this incident, just a flashback, when he was doing all that, he was the only heir to the whole beautiful kingdom of Bihar and Bengal. That time, one time when he was giving his charity, open in charity box, one time one of the old person comes that, "I want to get my daughter married, so I don't have any funds, so can you give?" So he tells the treasurer, "Give him a note of 1,000 rupees. This is like late 1700s. Give him 1,000 rupees to him. So then his treasurer, he has to ask his father. He goes and asks him. He said, "Oh, since my son has promised, give it to him. But tell him to next time, he should earn before he makes such big donations. He should earn, learn to earn also before he makes some donations." Of course, that hurt him so much that he said, "Okay, if such a having, what is the use of having such a big kingdom if I cannot use in the service?" He decides to go and goes to Vardhman, where he does a small job, but because of his qualities and his talents, he eventually, under the British rule, becomes the governor of Orissa. The East India Company that time appointed him as the governor of Orissa. He spent time in Puri doing his bhajan, chanting the names of God, absorbed. Again, those thoughts were being revived in him. Got married, he had a son. But eventually, news came that his father left this world. So he had not been to his father's place. He was quite morose. He went back, resigned from the position of his governor because he was the only heir. He knew that he has to take care of the kingdom, come back, resumes his kingdom, and he's now working. The impressions of his sadhana, which he did in Sri Jagannath Puri, and his samskars from his childhood were so strong, they were pulling him. At the same time, there were temptations from the other side. Same times, these pullings were also there. So life of a sadhaka, struggle, temptations are there, but the taste is not developed. So there's a cliff, or there's a like a strong struggle which a sadhaka has to go. There's no taste for the holy name, to taste for the Bhagavat. But at the same time, these temptations are pulling. Similarly, at that time, he just gave up to those temptations and he was living a worldly life. But when he heard this point, at this point, that the sun is setting, wake up, that was ringing like the ringing, they were like the electric shock, ringing bells in him. that this is the call of Srimati Radharani from Vrindavan. I must go to Vrindavan immediately. Comes back home, informs his people, his wife, his children that I am going to Vrindavan. Radharani is calling. The Lord is calling. The Lord of my heart is calling me. Makes all the arrangements. Everyone is there. Of course, all the relatives, everyone, wife, children, everyone stops. But he says, no, I have to go. Reaches Vrindavan, begins rendering services in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Like a recluse, like a Babaji, he stayed. And eventually, when he saw the condition of Vrindavan, he realized, oh, the temples are not so properly kept. The worship is not happening so well. So this temple needs some renovation. But he was thinking, I don't have any money I have left. But he was thinking, I have left it, but all that property actually belongs to Krishna. So I should go back and bring all that money here, give something to my family, bring remaining. So he brings all the money, whatever he could, around 25 lakhs, and uses in rendering service in all the various wonderful temples of Vrindavan, renovating them, arranging the beautiful worships, serving the sadhus. And also eventually he comes up and builds another beautiful temple by the desire of inspiration of the Lord of near the Brahma Kund, Radha Krishna Chandrama. The name of the deities were installed. The beautiful pastime with the deities also happened. Of course, coming to the point, then he made this wonderful, beautiful temple and where all the sadhus were being served. But he himself would every day go out and do madhukari. He would not be like, it's not that he only started the chatram or the food counter, so he's there, right, in eating lavishly. Of course, we have seen in our congregation also examples like that, organizing beautiful festivals but themselves not eating and standing in line. Something like that. He was there himself going. But then, after a few months and years, the Lord actually appeared in his dream to purify more, give him more mercy, that my dear Lala Babu, you have done so much wonderful service. I'm so pleased you have established such wonderful... The deities had many wonderful pastimes with him also. And then the Lord that time to explain him, but one thing, I want you to make another temple. Saying, my dear Lord, I have given up everything. How can I make another temple now? All my wealth which I have had, I have been distributed. Nothing belongs to me now. How can I... The Lord says, my dear Babu, I want you to make the temple in your heart. So what do I have to do? He said, go on doing your bhajan and then the time will reveal how you have to make the temple of my worship, of my temple in your heart. Purify the Lord, purify your heart completely. Of course, he goes to Sri Giriraj. Govardhan stays in a cave performing his bhajan every day. And he would do parikrama every day. In the evenings, he go out for madhukari. And one time even the Lord comes and personally gives him the madhukari because it was heavily raining. The Lord didn't want him to fast. So many beautiful pastimes. But then still that thing which the Lord told him, make a temple, he was thinking nothing is happening. Something is, somewhere there is some anartha. He goes to his Lord, begs and cries and performs his bhajan more intensely. That, my dear Lord, I am unable to see that anartha which is holding me from making the temple in my heart. Please guide me. And of course, hearing his sincere prayers, the Lord reveals. He remembers that there is one another Seth, Lakshmi Chand, who was there, who was like a competitor to him, who was also building temples, and one time he had a court case fight with him also, and he had actually won the same land which they were arguing for, and he was having some malice in his heart, some envy in his heart with him, that he's also doing all these services. And so he was thinking that I have been going to Madhukari to different places, but somehow I have not been able to go to his house to beg for alms. That malice or that ego of renunciation. He was thinking, I have renounced, but that I have become proud of renunciation. That this is holding me back. So he decides that today I will go to his door and beg from him alms. As soon as he goes there, then his Seth Lakshmi Chand's servants called, hey, that today Lala Babu, the great Lala Babu has come. And he was also very happy and grateful to see that Lala Babu has come, he ordered for a big, huge thali with hundreds of gold coins and rice and all the different preparations. And with all his servants, he comes and offers him pranams. And he says that, my dear Lord, you have come here, Lala Babu, you have come here to beg at my doorsteps. I am very grateful and honored. I have no words to express my thanks. But of course, he says, hey, just I have come to beg some madhukari. Not, I don't need all this gold and everything. He says, you are actually a true king. We had two, you captured me twice. One time we had the fight over a land. You captured that land. And today you have captured my heart. You have gained the sovereignty of my heart. You are the king of my heart. And this is for a king. You cannot give bhiksha. You are a king. So this is a nazarana. For a king, you don't give a bhiksha. You give like a gift. So this is a gift which I have brought because you are king of my heart. So like that he offers, and then of course they had wonderful exchange. And then when he comes back, he meets his spiritual master, and then gives him initiation, and then he eventually has the darshan of his beloved Lord within his heart. It's a beautiful pastime, basically depicting how we have to get purified of all our anarthas before we can actually have the temple of Lord in our heart, serving the instructions of the Guru, trying to fulfill the desires of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual masters. Then it's possible to have the temple of Lord in the heart. Hare Krishna. So with this we will end. It's time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.